And the first reading this morning is from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and cattle, small creatures and flying birds, king of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Luke chapter 19. Praise and glory to God. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell them the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, in our gospel reading, we heard how Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, that animal that Jesus rode that day is described as a colt. In the Gospel of Matthew, it states explicitly that it is the colt of a donkey, that is, a young male donkey. The passage from one of the Gospels, either Luke, Mark, or John, or Matthew, so that passage about the triumphal entry, that's normally read on Palm Sunday. And often particular emphasis is given to the fact that kings would not ride on colts, particularly of donkeys, but rather on horses, at least in formal processions. Horses were associated with war and royal power at the time. Donkeys were the animal for commoners and the beast of burden for the everyday. So donkeys were used by farmers for helping to carry produce and implements, for bringing the harvest in. They were used for carrying water, for traveling, of course, and they were also used by traders and merchants. So this was a very common form of transport. Something maybe in our day, like turning up in a old beaten car or on the bus and not on your nice Mercedes or any other luxury limousine. Overall, riding on a donkey was a sign of humility. In the prophetic book of Zechariah, we read the prophecy about the king coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And there in the book of Zechariah, it's contrasted with a battle horse. And so the contrast in Zechariah is the horse is seen as a sign of battle and royal power, and the donkey is seen as a sign of peace. So that's what we often preach about. But today I want to focus on another aspect of the account of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, namely the contribution of the donkey in those events. I'll read you the story from the donkey's view as told by Anne Lee Conti. So now you have to imagine the donkey speaking. I had always wished I were a horse, standing beside my mother. I often watched the horses go by carrying Roman soldiers. How important they seemed. Once I even saw Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in Jerusalem, ride by. His horse acted so proud. I nickered. If only I could carry a king. But I knew kings didn't ride donkeys. Still, I was anxious to grow up, to be useful, no matter what my life's work would be. Whenever Isaac, my master, needed a worker, I would bray in my deepest voice, trying to attract his attention so he would let me help. But he always chose my big brother instead. I felt useless and unhappy. Then, today, two men untied me. I could hardly believe what was happening. At last, I was going to be useful. I was a little nervous, but I walked as tall as I could, ears up, back straight. I may not be as regal as a horse, but I would do my best. I wondered what these two fellows had in mind for me, and who was this Jesus they said needed me? Isaac seemed to think he was a good man, a prophet, he said. As we neared Bethphage, I saw a small group of people gathered around a man. He looked rather ordinary until I got close enough to look into his eyes. His eyes, how kind and gentle they were, yet sad too. I'd never seen eyes like his before. The two men, disciples they called themselves, draped some of their clothes on my back since I didn't have a saddle. I stood very still as the man they called Jesus climbed on my back. I sensed his calmness and I wasn't nervous anymore. Slowly, we walked down the dusty road towards Jerusalem. Soon, many people began following us. They spread their garments on the road to make a soft path for us. Some people cut palm branches and waved them as they all began to sing, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! By this time, everyone in Jerusalem was asking, Who is this? It is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, his disciples answered. Then someone shouted, Let's make him our king. Suddenly I remembered the old prophecy of Zechariah. Look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I was carrying the king of the universe on my back, Jesus, the king of kings, the very son of God. Why, this was better than all my dreams put together. I was blessed above all donkeys. Well, that's the story of the donkey. Today, I want to emphasize how in this story we see animals participating in God's mission here on earth because they are part of our life here on earth. Of course, the Bible addresses humans and is mainly about God's relationship with humans. But that relationship cannot be described and the story cannot be told without including animals. They are part of our lives and therefore are also part of our relationship with God. Of course, the Bible does mention animals quite regularly. They are part of the history it recounts. After all, the events described in the Bible mostly happened in an agrarian society, and in a society like this, animals are part and parcel of life here on earth. They are also there as part of wise sayings, and certain aspects of animal life were given as examples, such as the busy ants that prepared for winter. Jesus used animals as part of the parables. And then animals are there in poetry as well, particularly in the Psalms. Sometimes they are used as part of a picture, such as the Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf. Sometimes it is more that there's something appealing about animals, and this character is used. For example, in Psalm 55, where someone in anguish prays, "Oh, that I would have had wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." But most often, particularly in the Psalms, animals are seen as part of all creation that worships God. They are part of the symphony of praise in which humans also join in. The Bible does not spell out directly how that praise by animals is happening. After all, it is addressed first of all to humans. But it is clear that this praise of God by animals is happening. Somehow in their life, animals do praise God. As such, animals and humans together live in this world and together participate in God's work of salvation. The donkey who carried Jesus into Jerusalem not only carried him there as the Prince of Peace, he also carried him to those very intense days of his life that would culminate in Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And through that, through his death and resurrection, Jesus brought forgiveness, hope, and new life to all humans, and reconciliation and a new beginning for the whole world. Amen.